All right, everybody, I'm Logan Alec, I'm a CPA, and this is my stimulus update for Monday, September 15th. In this update, I'm going to go over in detail the Problem Solvers Caucus new stimulus proposal. We have seen their proposal. It calls for a second and potentially third round of stimulus checks. I will get into it. I will also get into the negative response of House Democratic leaders. They rejected it today faster than I got rejected by Hot Becky for junior prom. So as good as this proposal is, it looks like House Democrats are going to kill it out of hand, but I think it's a good proposal. I want to tell you about it, not to get your hopes up, but just to show you, look, there are still decent people in Congress on both sides of the aisle who can actually come up with something decent on a bipartisan basis, and I only wish that those who have been in D.C. for decades, like Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer and several of these fiscal hawk Republican senators could do the same. But they can't. They're not. They won't. I'll read you the House Democratic leader's response to this Problem Solvers Caucus proposal at the end of this video, and the Democratic leader's response, it just sounds so tone deaf. Anyway, context. Yesterday, I told you the Problem Solvers Caucus, 50 House Republicans, 50 House Democrats. They're putting together their own bipartisan stimulus proposal. They released it this morning. I like it. Mark Meadows likes it. I think many of you will like it too. But unfortunately, like I said, top Democrats in the House don't like it. This proposal is called the March to Common Ground. And they say, having seen no progress on a new COVID-19 relief package in 4 months and a recognition of Americans' increased suffering, the Problem Solvers Caucus has developed a comprehensive bipartisan framework to meet the nation's needs for the next 6 to 12 months that can pass both chambers of Congress and be signed into law by the president. Supposedly, in putting this thing together, they spent 6 weeks listening to their constituents across the country, the average Jackson, average Jill throughout our great nation, listening to what they want. In this video, I'm going to go through everything they're proposing. Going to start with the less contentious items and then move to the more contentious items. But first, what's the top line? $1.5 trillion. That's the number you're going to hear in the media. But there's actually a caveat there, and that it's actually only about $1.38 trillion in new money by my math. In the proposal itself, there's a chart that says $1.52 trillion in new money. I think that's misleading. I'll tell you why in this video. That said, the way the proposal is put together, this figure could balloon by an additional $400 billion due to automatic boosters in 2021 if the virus and economic situation are still not going so great at that point. So with those boosters, this could very well be a $2 trillion proposal. I do like what they're doing in proposing these automatic boosters that I'm going to go over later in this video in case the economy needs it next year. I think that's a great approach to say, all right, we're going to do this much now, which might be a little bit on the smaller side, you know, to appease Republicans. But it turns out if we need more, then automatically more aid will go out without another round of debates to potentially appease Democrats. Though we know, of course, that House Democrats are not impressed by this proposal. So what's in this thing? First, let's get into the bit I know many of you are wondering about. There would be an additional round of $1,200 stimulus checks, including $500 per dependent, including adult dependents, and they say retroactive for the adult dependents. I would imagine that means that in addition to including adult dependents in another round of stimulus checks, they would send an additional round of $500 per adult dependent to cover the fact they were missed under the CARES Act. But wait, there's more. There's an automatic booster for stimulus checks in this proposal. In addition to a second round of stimulus check, they're also calling for a third round in March 2021. If warranted, based on metrics, these metrics would be tied to COVID-19 hospitalizations, as well as progress on a COVID-19 vaccine. They haven't elaborated on what exactly the numbers they would be looking for here would be to trigger the automatic boosters. I'm sure if they actually put together a bill rather than just a summary proposal like they have here, they would spell that out. But these problem solvers nevertheless appear to be very stimulus check friendly. Let's just say that much. All right, what about unemployment? They are calling for $450 per week of enhanced supercharged federally funded unemployment benefits for an 8-week transition period beginning in mid-October. So we'd be looking at $450 a week throughout the last half of October, throughout November, maybe into early December. And this would be followed up by an additional 5 weeks up to $600 per week into January 2021, which would be up to, but not exceeding, 100% wage replacement. Then, similar to stimulus checks, they're calling for an automatic booster to unemployment in February. They're calling for an automatic 3-month extension of the supercharged unemployment beginning in February 2021. Again, if warranted, based on COVID-19 hospitalization metrics and COVID-19 vaccine progress. They also propose a 15% women, infants, and children nutrition program increase through March 2021, and a 15% food stamps SNAP program increase through July 2021. That's good. People need to eat. They're also calling for $25 billion in rental assistance to the, and I quote, most needy. And in addition to that, other rent stabilization programs and or an eviction moratorium through January 2021. Now, I've talked about the automatic boosters so far. For rental assistance, they're actually proposing an automatic reducer to the tune of $10 billion. So if the COVID situation improves, instead of this $25 billion for rental assistance, could knock it down to as low as $15 billion. There's also student loan forbearance in this proposal through the end of the year. In terms of COVID-19 response, they want $25 billion for testing and contact tracing, $30 billion for healthcare provider support, and $45 billion for forgiveness of Medicare loans to providers so as not to reduce the Medicare trust fund. So that's a total of $100 billion for COVID-19 response. Interesting, there's nothing in here explicitly related to the vaccine, especially considering they tie the boosters in this proposal to a COVID-19 vaccine in part. In terms of school and child care, $100 billion for K-12 schools for virtual, hybrid, and or in-person learning, $30 billion for higher education institutions such as colleges and universities, $15 billion for child care. They also want a $400 million for election aid to states, $12 billion for broadband and underserved communities, $25 billion for agriculture, $15 billion for the Postal Service, and a possible census extension for accuracy. In terms of small business relief, they're proposing a second round of PPP funding consisting of $145 billion left over from the CARES Act PPP funding. And I think they're missing that in their chart here. They only include $130 billion CARES Act state and local funding of old money I'll talk about in a bit. But in terms of new money for small business, they're proposing $45 billion in new PPP funding and $50 billion in new EIDL funding. In terms of other business relief, they want to fix the Main Street Lending Program, don't really say how. That's the program really targeted toward larger businesses, larger than those eligible for the PPP. I'm not talking about like Disney and Coca-Cola, but generally larger businesses than PPP eligible businesses. They also want $50 billion for an employee retention tax credit. And for PPP as well, they're proposing up to a $60 billion automatic reducer if the COVID-19 situation improves significantly. Now, everything so far I've discussed are things that are not that controversial. Maybe some of the dollar figures are controversial. Maybe Republicans would balk at $450 a week, you know, $600 potentially unemployment. But in concept, they agree with the idea of extending unemployment. 52 Republican senators voted in favor of that last week. And maybe the Postal Service funding is a bit controversial for Republicans. And maybe the PPP is slightly controversial with some Democrats, since they probably think, you know, there's potential there for abuse and all that. But they'd probably be good with just some more oversight, right? Now let's talk about the things that are more controversial in this proposal. And unfortunately, these are the things that the Senate leaders, Mitch McConnell in the Senate and Nancy Pelosi in the House, hold the most dearly to their hearts. Contentious item number one, the Problem Solvers Caucus is proposing $500 billion in new money for state and local aid, as well as allowing $130 billion in CARES Act money to be repurposed more flexibly. Republicans are on board with that repurposing. It's the new money they freak out about. So what's in this $500 billion in new money for state and local governments that the problem solvers are proposing? Well, $130 billion in new money for documented future state and local expenses through 2021 related to COVID-19. Now, I think Republicans could potentially get back on board with that as long as all documented COVID-19 related. Because remember, the Republican complaint here, warranted or not, but their party line is, we don't want to give federal money to blue states like New York and California that has nothing to do with COVID, because according to Republicans, these states have bloated pension funds and can't rein in spending. But I have a suspicion that if funding could be tied to documenting true needs due to COVID-19, Republicans could get on board. But that's not the only state and local funding the problem solvers are proposing. They're also proposing $370 billion for state and local general revenue shortfalls, $250 billion for state governments, and $120 billion for local governments. Because let's face it, folks, tax revenues are crashing. Businesses are locked down, shut down in many places. There goes your sales tax. There goes your corporate income tax. People are not making nearly as much money as they were. There goes personal income tax revenues. So state tax revenues are down. They're facing unprecedented budget shortfalls, and Democrats to the tune of $900 billion, almost $1 trillion in the HEROES Act, and to some degree, the Problem Solvers Caucus to the tune of $370 billion want to make up those general revenue shortfalls. Republicans don't like this. They think that a lot of these big blue states have made their bed. Now they want to lie in it, so to speak. Way back on April 22nd, I made a video telling you what Mitch McConnell thought should happen to these blue states. I'm not going to go into that issue here because I've already covered it in that video. So the state and local business is something I think Republicans will not like in this proposal. That said, there is also an automatic reducer to the state and local funding of up to $130 billion. That is the amount allocated for COVID-19 related expenses. So what it's saying is, look, if 2021 rolls around, hospitalizations are down, we have the vaccine, maybe states won't need this full $130 billion in the COVID-19 relief that we want to give them. So, you know, we won't give them all of it. Like I said earlier, I like that. I think it's a decent compromise. We'll allocate up to this much, potentially this larger number, to hopefully appease Democrats. But you know, if it turns out the money isn't needed based on specific objective benchmarks, they don't give it here in this four-page summary, but if these specific objective benchmarks are met, then you know what? We won't allocate as much to hopefully appease Republicans. Now, what will Democrats not like in this Problem Solvers Caucus proposal? Well, for one thing, they will not like the liability protection that made its way in here. Mitch McConnell and the Republicans have pushed for an almost five-year liability protection for establishments such as businesses, hospitals, schools, what have you, against litigation claiming that a customer, patron, employee contracted COVID-19 at the establishment insofar as the establishment is following the current health and safety guidelines with respect to COVID-19, talking about masks, social distancing, what have you. I covered what the Republicans want in this regard in my July 29th update, and what Republicans want is fairly specific. As far as this Problem Solvers Caucus proposal, they're not that specific about what they want. It simply says they want enhanced protections for entities which follow enhanced OSHA guidelines, as well as a robust enforcement of worker safety. They don't say 5 years, at least not in this four-page summary here. We don't know exactly what they were thinking here, but we know that Nancy Pelosi has called this liability protection, at least insofar as what the Republicans want, a poison pill, something that she cannot accept, because she feels that it would leave workers unprotected if they get COVID-19 at their place of employment. So I think the Problem Solvers Caucus was being intentionally vague here in what exactly they want in this regard to potentially appease their House leader, which we know didn't work. Speaking of Pelosi, in her call this morning with her Democratic caucus in the House, she said, "A skinny deal is not a deal, it is a Republican bill." And on top of that, and this is extremely disheartening, the Democratic chairs of 8 House committees published a statement this morning saying, "While we appreciate every attempt at providing critical relief to American families, the Problem Solvers Caucus proposal falls short of what is needed to save lives and boost the economy." In this statement, they go on to praise their HEROES Act, and they say that the Problem Solvers proposal retreats from critical policies and fails to respond to additional issues that have emerged since May when it comes to bolstering the public health system, supporting state and local governments, and assisting struggling families. The Problem Solvers proposal leaves too many needs unmet. With the general election just 49 days away and the Postal Service sabotaged by the Trump administration, their proposal also abandons our responsibility to protect the life of our democracy. In my opinion, this is complete BS. I like this Problem Solvers proposal. It would guarantee one stimulus check. If we need another one next year, hey, yeah, we'll send out that one. It extends unemployment in a sensible way that, yes, some Republicans may think is too much, but you read these stories, people literally can't work because their places of unemployment are shut down at no fault of their own. They need help. This proposal would help a lot of those folks. And I say, screw these Democratic leaders. I think this is disgraceful. I'm beginning to think that possibly Republicans, crazy as the conspiracy theory claims that they make sometimes are, might be onto something here when they say that a lot of Democrats don't want to help the people right now because they know that the economy has always been Trump's selling point. Trump might be down on overall approval sometimes, but his approval with the economy is typically higher than his overall approval, accurate or not. How much credit, you know, he should get for the economy, we can debate that. He did inherit a good one. But fact is, people, even some Democratic voters, like Trump on the economy, and Republicans have suggested that top Democrats don't want to give any additional help before the election because they think it could possibly help Trump and Republicans. And just based on behavior, like we've seen from House Democratic leaders this morning, maybe they have a point. The Problem Solvers proposal is decent, it's not perfect, but for House Democratic leaders to dismiss it out of hand with such strong language just hours after it was released sounds incredibly, incredibly tone deaf to me, to the cries for help from the people of this nation. All right, folks, this video is getting long enough. It is September 15th, which is the extended tax deadline for S corporations and partnerships. I am all caffeinated. I have some urgent client work I have to do today for some clients who were just so late getting me their information, but you know what? I'm used to it. That's the way it is every year. So even so, I wanted to get this video out for you all. I'll probably do a post in the community tab on my channel later today with the unemployment map once I have a chance to update that. Thank you so, so much for watching, everybody. I really do appreciate your support, your comments, your likes. I will see you in the next video. Bye-bye.